عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Before we begin, first of all, let me welcome all of you tonight and also welcome a special guest, Professor Talal Turfahash. Talal, may Allah bless you, bless your family for honoring us with your presence here. And also let me ask you to recite, it's the anniversary of the departure of the mother of our dear brother Hajj Ja'far Yasa'i, the anniversary of his mother's death tonight. So please remember her in Surah Al-Fatiha for the marhuma Hajj Yasa'adat Badin Zara Yasa'i. Al-Fatiha ma'as salat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Maliki yawm al-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. سورة الأعراف آية 165. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به أنجينا الذين ينهون عن السوء وأخذنا الذين ظلموا بعذاب بئيس بما كانوا يفسقون. Page 172. فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به أنجينا الذين ينهون عن السوء وأخذنا الذين ظلموا بعذاب بئيس بما كانوا يفسقون. فلما عتوا عما نهوا عنه قلنا لهم كونوا قردة خاسئين. وإذ تأذن ربك ليبعثن عليهم إلى يوم القيامة من يسومهم سوء العذاب إن ربك لسريع العقاب وإنه لغفور رحيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم. When they disregarded the warning, فلما نسوا. نسوا comes from نسيان, and نسيان has two meanings. In the Quran, it has two meanings. One is the typical meaning, which is forgetfulness. Someone forgets without intention. You ask him to do something and he forgets. And we all forget, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This is why in our dua, which is in the Quran, this is a verse in the Quran, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا. Oh my Lord, don't hold me accountable if I forget. Sometimes I forget, you know. This is my nature. And forgetfulness, this type of forgetfulness is a mercy. It's not a curse. Because if you don't forget, sometimes Allah loves you, so He makes you forget the bad incidents in your life. Because if you don't forget them, they're going to haunt you. And You're going to torture yourself. So to be able to forget is something very good and very healthy. Don't think that this is part of, you know, what they call it, Parkinson's disease or the other one? Alzheimer's. No, it's not yet, you know, not yet. So don't think, because some people when they start forgetting at the age of 40 or 50 or 60, they think this is a sign of Alzheimer's. It's not. It's a sign of Allah's mercy, inshallah. Although many people men tend to forget what their wives tell them, you know. And wives typically forget what their men ask for. Yeah. But it's a sign of God's mercy that we are able to forget, especially the bad history, the bad incidents. The second type of nisyan, this is punishable. It's not that he forgets. Nisyan here in this context in the Quran, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا, it means that they disregarded this. They disregarded, they disobeyed our commands. This is punishable. This is a crime. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ, when they disregarded our warnings. What was the warnings? Do you remember from previous sessions? There was a special warnings to the community of the Israelites in a particular city in Palestine. What was it? Not to fish on the Sabbath. And that was the city of Eilat. Today, it's still a city. The ancient name of it is Eilat. And the contemporary name of it today is Eilat. Population of 70,000 at that time. Allah wanted to test their faith. He said to them, 6 days go fish, work, do business. On the Sabbath, go and learn. Go and help each other. Go have a social life. Meet each other. Visit each other. Worship me, a day of reflection, a day of worship. Don't work. So, but Allah also tested them, which is mentioned in the Quran. Fish do not approach the shores for 6 days. They go into the deep waters on 6 days. For 6 days. Only on Saturday they come so close and they get their head out of water and they start shaking to say hello to them. So they could not resist this very strong temptation. A fisherman who sees the fish that hard to catch on other days. Now it's very close, accessible, easy, and then he does not do anything. This is a great imtihan and test. But Allah said, I want you to be strong here. Yes, sin is tempting. Any violation, any sin is very tempting. But your faith has to be stronger to combat that sin. But they could not resist. Only few of them. Small group of fishermen, they said no. Our Prophet, our Lord said to us, don't do this, we are not going to do that. Our faith is more important than business and money. But the vast majority of them, they broke the law and they started cheating. They would put the nets inside the water, and then these fish, they come on Saturday, they get entangled there. They don't capture them on Saturday, they come on Sunday and they say, we didn't fish, we didn't work. But in fact, the job was done on the Sabbath, on Saturday. Allah says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا. This type of nisyan is not, it's not about forgetting. It's about disregarding Allah's rules. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ. First, we saved the good ones out of them. So when the punishment, when it comes, Allah first saves the good people. Good people and bad people are not mixed. Allah would never punish someone who did good, even if he's one person. Allah will order him to evacuate, leave that land, as it happened in many incidents. With Lut, Allah said to him, take You know, leave your family behind because she's one of them, a collaborator, and leave with a couple of people who were with him, believed in him. Leave that land. With Shu'aib, Allah did the same. With Salih, Allah did the same. He would save the good ones. He would not punish them for the crime that was committed by the majority, by the bad ones. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ. We rescued those who forbid evil. يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ. Because when we go to the second, to the verse 166, we will explain to you that they were three groups in that community. They were divided into three groups. أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ. We did not punish them. We rescued them. We rescued them. وَأَخَذْنَا, as for those who were wrongdoers, وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ, with a grievous punishment. بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسِقُونَ, because they were given to transgression. Now, we have a verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Anfal. If you go to chapter 8, verse 25, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. Fear the affliction that is not going to touch only the wrongdoers. It is going to encompass others too. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً. Fear, be careful, be aware of a punishment or an affliction that if it comes, it would not only touch the wrongdoers and the guilty ones. It will encompass others too. لَا وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصًا. What do you say about this verse? God says, I'm going, in this one, in Surah Al-Anfal, God says, I'm going to punish the guilty ones and those who are non-guilty. So, how does that work? In one place in the Quran, Allah says, the non-guilty, I'm going to save them. I'm not going to punish them. In this verse, Surah Al-Anfal, Allah says, when I send my punishment, others are going to be involved in it. So how do you reconcile between these two verses in the Quran? The reconciliation is that in Surah Al-Anfal here, Allah is saying those, the silent majority, sometimes in a community, in a society, maybe few of them are guilty, criminals. Few of them, 10%, 20%, 30%. The rest, another 70%, are not criminals per se, but they are the silent majority. They see the crime, they see the violation, they see the corruption, and they choose to remain silent. They don't do anything to change it. They say, I don't care. My neighbor, whatever he's doing, free country, free society. He's a free and I'm a free. I don't care. But if he's doing something dangerous, then this danger is not going to be confined to his house. It's going to reach your children and your family tomorrow. So you have to do something. Like the example of the fire that I always give. When there is a fire in that neighborhood, you have to be careful. That fire is going to reach your house soon. So you have to be careful. Therefore, Allah says the majority who are silent and they did not do anything, when the punishment comes, it will encompass them too. Although they didn't do something wrong, but when they were silent, that was wrong. They were silent. So, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. God, out of His mercy and compassion and forgiveness and tolerance and love for us, He says, I am going to wait for the last second on you before I punish. God is very tolerant. He says, I'm going to wait. I will give you one chance after another. God is so patient. He sees violations every day by us, every day. But he does not punish immediately. God says in the Quran, if I decide to punish for every crime immediately, none can survive on earth. None can survive. But I am very patient. I give you another chance, a third one, a fourth one, 10th, 20th, 50th, until one day I find that you are not going to come back to me. You are not going to feel sorry for your crimes. At that time, you deserve the punishment. In Surah Yunus is chapter 10, ayah number 8. Allah says, even when punishment comes to engulf the guilty ones, even at that time, it is never too late to come back to me and say, Ya Allah. Even when I push the button and the punishment is coming, if you go back to him, say, I'm sorry, he will accept you. Because he's merciful. He's merciful. He based this universe, this kingdom of him on mercy, not on punishment. On mercy. On forgiveness. On acceptance. In Surah Yunus, Allah says, when his community, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَن لَّن نَّقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ, they rejected him and he got angry and he left the community in wrath. Then God sent them the punishment. So when they saw the fire coming to them, they started screaming, oh God, we are sorry. He said, okay, if you are genuinely sorry, I will remove it. Listen to Surah Yunus, ayah 98. فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا. Iman here means forgiveness. When they saw, آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسِ لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزْيِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. They saw the punishment coming. Still they called upon me. Because some people, even when they see the punishment, they are so arrogant and they are not willing to go back to God. Do you see that? Some people are so arrogant. Even when they see the punishment, have you seen some kids, when their parents, they discipline them, and they tell them, okay, say sorry. He says, no, I'm not sorry. I didn't do something wrong. This is how we deal with God, some of us. We see the reminders. We see the threats. We see the loss. But still man is so arrogant. So arrogant. He's not willing to say sorry and to go back. فَلَمَّا عَتُوا, look at 166, فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا عَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ قُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. In this incident of the fishing, the community broke into three groups. The majority of them, the vast majority of them, were disobedient. They broke the law. Out of greed, love for money, they said, we are not going to stop fishing. We don't care whether it is Sabbath or Sunday or Monday. This is business. And whether it is legal or illegal. And we have this type of people in every community, in every religion, in every school of thought. Some people who do not care about halal or haram. As long as this is money, they don't look at whether this money is a legal, lawful source or an illegal source. Today I was watching a small documentary on CNN about drug trafficking on the East Coast in Philadelphia. They sell these small, you know, bags, very small, for $10 in the streets. For the youngsters, for the youth. They give them attractive, you know, price, lucrative price, $10. And $10 people can afford it, especially the young ones. But then he was saying that they put some sort of medicine in them which really kills. It kills them when they take, you know, as you heard with this new, with this last incident which took place in New York the other day. Hoffman, what's his name? Seymour Hoffman? Yeah. At the age of 46. He died at the age of 46. So they put some sort of poison in that drugs. And of course, a young person at the age of 14, 15, he wants to feel high. He wants to be free. He wants to enjoy his time and his life. And he says, many people, they get killed every single day, because of this greed. Because of this greed. Some people, they take advantage of the young generation in this country, rather than helping them, guiding them, showing them the right way, they exploit them by selling them the drugs. So they don't care. They don't care. As long as that merchant, that drug traffickers, he's making money, he doesn't care what happens to the society. He doesn't care. This person is a dead person. This is not insan. A person who wants to make money at the expense of the health, the integrity, the safety of his community and his society is worse than an animal, worse than a beast. And we do have such people in every society, in every country. They see the pain, they see the misery, they see death, but they don't care. He's making money. He's making money. So the vast majority of them were disobedient because they were engulfed by greed. By greed. In business, we have two things. Either someone is guided by principles or greed. If not the principles, if not the human and ethical principles, then greed. And then he's going to destroy his community and himself because he's part of that community. فَلَمَّا عَتُوا So they were three groups. The disobedient, the second group were those who did not do anything and they were unhappy with that type of behavior, but they were the very small minority. And then there was a third group which was equally guilty because they were silent. They didn't say anything. They didn't move to change that situation. They were spectators, silent, the silent majority, who withdraw themselves from the society and they just stand and watch. So those are equally guilty in that crime. فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا عَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْ When in their insolence, they transgressed all prohibitions. What did we say to them? Wait before I tell you. Allah said to the good group, those who tried to resist, those who tried to change, but they couldn't do anything. Not because they failed. We don't fail. Allah says, even if you are one against 1,000, if you do your job, even if they don't listen to you, this is not a failure on your part. This is a success. Because Allah says, our responsibility is to try. Now, whether we succeed or not, we should not look at that option. We might not succeed, but Allah still says, you are a success. Because you did, you fulfilled your mission. You fulfilled your mission, even if you don't succeed. I want to see you moving, doing something, trying to change. Many people say, I would not say anything because nothing will happen. People before me, they tried and they failed. You have to say something. Even if people before you and after you, they could not change. Your responsibility is to do something. God's responsibility is either to fulfill this, make it a success or not. Because God wants to see sincerity here on our part. Sincerity. We are hardworking and sincere and we try to change. Whether we succeeded or not, this is not my problem. This is God's problem. He will take care of that. He will take care of that. But he tells me, your responsibility is to try. I want to see you trying. So Allah said to those who tried, but they could not change, Allah said to them, evacuate. He sent them a message. And Allah sends messages sometimes. Actually, Allah sent messages to the good and the bad ones. But sometimes we detect these messages and understand them and read them. And sometimes we bypass them and we don't understand them. Sometimes we pay attention to them, we get the message. And sometimes you don't get the message. Allah sent messages, positive messages. Allah says, send warning sometimes. The smart one, he can get the warning. The foolish one, the one who is mired in sins, cannot see the sign or the message, cannot read it, because he's heavily intoxicated. Even if God sends him a message a day, because he's heavily intoxicated, he cannot see, he cannot hear. Have you seen people on Friday night and Saturday night? Go to certain places, go to Hollywood Boulevard and see the people. Friday night and Saturday night. Another part of America. Go to Manhattan and see them there. Go to any downtown, San Diego downtown, and see them on Friday night and Saturday night. See those people who... However, so Allah says, فَلَمَّا عَتَوْا عَمَّا نُهُوا عَنْهُ. When the majority of them, they transgressed in insolence and takabbur and pride, ammanuhu and arrogance, qulna lahum, listen to this where I conclude here, qulna lahum, we said to them, kunu qiradatan khasi'in, be apes, despised and rejected, kunu qiradatan khasi'in. And this verse has been mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, this one which is in Surah Al-A'raf in this chapter. Also, this sentence has been mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, 65, and Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is chapter 5, verse 60. Be apes, despised and rejected. What does that mean? When you read the work of Muslim theologians and interpreters of the Quran, the exegetists, they have two opinions here. One group, they say this transformation of human beings into apes or swines. Some people believe that this deformation or defacement is allegorical. It is not physical. So when God punished them, God said, I want your behavior and your character and your personality to resemble the ones of the apes and the swines. The other group, they come, and this is both within Shia and Sunni Islam, by the way. We have mufassirin, exegetists, on both aisles. The minority of them believe that this is allegorical. It's not physical. God once said to those community of the disobedience, be apes. In another verse, swines, qirada and khanazir. This was a metaphor, meaning that I want your character to be transformed into the character of these animals. Your behavior to be transformed into the behavior of these animals. Now, what is the behavior of the ape? What is the main character of the ape? What does he do? Do you go to the zoo? Have you been to LA Zoo, San Diego Zoo, any zoo? Any place in Africa, in the forest in Africa? Definitely you have seen some apes. What do they do? How do you describe an ape? But beside jumping and being nice and beautiful and, you know, and cute, what else? Mimicking. Ahsant. mimicking, imitating. Imitating without, but with understanding or without understanding? Without understanding. Without understanding. So God says to those who mimic without understanding, they are like whom? Like apes. Now, what is the main characteristic of a pig? Huh? He's what? Dirty. Because you know they survive on what? I mentioned in the Friday prayers last Friday. Some people asked, why God created pigs? If pigs are so dirty and bad and terrible, why did he create them in the first place? Why did he do that? Do you know? No clue? Someone can say, huh? They believe that pigs are and domesticated animals, wild animals, land animals. They do not live in the society, in the community. They live outside. So God created them for a reason. God does not create anything for no reason. Each and every creature in this universe has a mission, has a role, and there is a wisdom, a reason behind his or her creation. So what is the wisdom of creating pigs? To clean up the environment. But then man, by the time they started, you know, bringing them and making them pets and bringing them and then using their meat, which is the worst type and the most dangerous type of meat. So what is the main characteristic of a pig? How do you describe someone when you say, this is a pig? Why? Huh? Because he's dirty. He survives on filth, on a trash. And sometimes they eat their own refuse. You know that? They eat it. For them, it's very delicious. It smells good and delicious, and they eat it. Nice cuisine, you know. So those who are dirty, Allah says about those who are dirty, who are non-clean. Those who are non-clean, whether in their business, in their family life, in their behavior, in their manners, God says those are like pigs. They behave like pigs. So there were two groups. Some of them, they believe that it was not, the transformation was not jismani, physical. It was ruhani, spiritual. God said to them, listen, I was patient on you. You did many violations. I did not condemn you to death or to punishment. I was so patient, but you didn't listen to me. So you don't deserve to carry human soul. You deserve to carry animal soul. So for their leaders, the leaders were so filthy, God said to them, you become swines and pigs. But for the followers, who were the young ones, they were followers, tabi'in, followers. What did God say to them? You become apes, because apes, they follow without understanding. قُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا قِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. Inshallah, 167. We're going to, inshallah, go through it next Thursday. One thing before I leave the podium. As I mentioned in the beginning, that we are also commemorating tonight the anniversary. What year is this, Hajj Ja'far Agha? 11th anniversary of the departure of a mother, a good mother who raised good children, good sons and good daughters. And at this time and age, it's not easy to be a good mother. It's not easy. It's not an easy task to be a caring mother. This life, this dunya is changing. People's perception are changing, unfortunately. Some people look at being a mother as something demeaning. Oh, not good. I want to be an engineer. Call me a doctor. Call me an engineer. Call me, you know, don't call me a mother. And mother is the most beautiful title and most honorable title a female can get. A mother. This book says, worship God, be good to your mothers. Worship God and be good to your mothers. So, motherhood is an important role. And we have to train our daughters to be prepared for the future. To be a good mother is not to push a button. You know, just push this button and overnight she becomes good mother. It's not. It's a long journey. Begins with her parents at home. It begins with her childhood too, and the influence she gets from her parents, her extended family members, her school, her friends, her neighborhood. This is how she prepares herself to be a mother in the future. The same thing with fathers. You cannot see someone, a boy who is wild, all of a sudden, the night of his wedding, he becomes, mashallah, saint, you know, good person. Doesn't happen like that. It requires many years of hard working, self-discipline, self-control. It's a long journey. So we have to teach our children. We, the parents, we have a responsibility of coaching and preparing our youngsters, our children, from a very young age to be prepared to be good fathers and good mothers in the future. Nowadays, parenthood, fatherhood, motherhood is losing its value. Losing its value. Millions of people are being raised with a single parent family. And this is not good. This is not good. Children, they need both. They need the father and they need the mother, both. Father and mother, they have to work very hard to establish strong character for their children. Strong character for their children. We are commemorating a mother who worked very hard, but now she sees the products of her work. The Prophet says, even after our death, we go, we are buried, but we can see our children and we feel proud of them, proud of their achievements. When they do good, when your son and your daughter, they do good after your death, you receive a percentage, a commission. You receive a commission of that goodness. And this is the hadith of the Prophet. The Prophet says, إِذَا مَاتَ ابْنُ آدَمٍ قَطَعَ أَمَلُهُ وَعَمَلُهُ. When a person dies, he is completely cut off of this life. He does not have an access to his bank account. He does not have access to his property, to his business, to his family, to his friends, to his books, to his knowledge. But we leave him with a few access. One of them is a good son or good daughter. When they do good, the father gets part of that percentage. In his grave, he still receives the profit. Because those are the products of their parents. A good son does not come from vacuum. A good daughter does not come from vacuum. This is the result of the hard working of good parents. When the good parents, they invest in their children. They invest. There are some people who invest in their properties. There are some people whose their hobby is to invest in their backyard, in their garden. They spend hours and hours working in the backyard. They love gardening, which is good. And there are some parents who invest in their children. Invest in their children. Definitely they're going to see the result of this investment. So let's work on our children. Let's not abandon our children. Let's not abandon them. We need them and they need us. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat. My condolences to the Asai family, to Dr. Ismail, to Hajj Ja'far Agha, Muhandis Ja'far, to her daughters, who are sitting on this side. May Allah bless you all, inshallah, and give you the patience and the opportunity to serve more and more and more, inshallah. This life is opportunity to work and serve. Once we die, at that time, khalas, we go on a vacation. Now there is no vacation. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, now in this life, amal, al-yawm amalun wala hisab. We let you work. But tomorrow, hisabun wala amal. Tomorrow is a day of accountability. There is no room to offset, to say, oh God, I need one more week. Just leave me one more week. Let me finish this work and then take me. He says, sorry, I can't. I can't do that with you. So if I am supposed to work today, not tomorrow, before I see the angel of death. When I see the angel of death, it's over. Allahumma ighfir lil-mu'minina wal-mu'minat والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات. Some people asked me to recite أمن يجيب المفطر, special dua for them on this holy night. A lady called earlier, they have a case with cancer, so, and many others who are asking us for the healing of those who are sick, for fulfilling the needs, those who are in need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's recite this ayah 5 times. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, amman yujibul mudharra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su', amman yujibul mudharra idha da'ahu wa yakshifu as-su'. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. يا الله من على مرضانا بالشفاء والعافية المرضى المنظورين, اللهم ألبسهم ثوب الصحة والعافية وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان برای شادی روح مرحومه حاجه سعادت بادین زر یاسائی. الفاتحه مع الصلاه على محمد وآل محمد.